This is a Zach Feldman Show replay on ZRadioLive.com.
The website music station Z Radio Live. This is the Zach Feldman Show. Joining me over the phone is an author. Her name is Shayla Johnson, and she has a brand new book called Perpetual Gloom, A Two-Rut Road Along the Baloney Trail. Ooh, I mean, it makes me hungry, but it's definitely not about baloney. Shayla, thanks for joining me here on the Zach Feldman Show. How's everything going?
Yeah, things are going great. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you're joining us here to talk about this brand new book. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, so it is actually the first book to drop within a trilogy, and the trilogy is called The Baloney Trail. And the Perpetual Gloom, it's the first, like I said, is the first drop of that. And it actually follows a family beginning in the Great Depression during the 1930s. And then we kind of follow that family through generations, and we look at the challenges that they had then, and then where it leads to. So there's a lot of history behind it. But this family is very unusual. And by the way, it is based on true events. And it did take me almost 6 years to do all the research on it for all the documentation and things, which is probably why the first book has over 160 footnotes, right? Mm-hmm. So but we follow the family as they kind of migrate from the South and they move up to the Northwest. And then we follow the main character in there as he kind of brings his family, now that he's grown, down into Mexico during the beginning of the Sinaloa cartel. So this is kind of like a Grapes of Wrath meets Breaking Bad. You know, the characters in here, you hate to love and love to hate. You know, they're endearing, but they just don't always get it right. And most of the time they don't get it right. Mm. But it is kind of a human experience, I think, with it. So it's a fast-paced book, and it's a fast-paced series, actually. So
what made you want to write a book? You know, you are a very successful photographer. You know, you've won 9 awards in the Society of Technical Communications, too. Yeah. And you're a published photographer. So why a book? Why did you go into writing?
So I was always interested, even in through college writing, like creative writing. I mean, even as far back as high school. But when I got to English classes, and actually I thought it would be a photojournalist, which is why I kind of combined the two. And then in creative writing, I knew of this story back then in my 20s. And I had two professors at school say that I should just quit school, go finish this story and make $1 million. And I just thought they were blowing smoke up my skirt. You know, for one thing, I'm a terrible speller. I mean, my grammar and spelling are just awful. And then, you know, it was like, so photography was a great way for me to actually communicate with, and writing, not so much. But I did end up working in high tech for a number of years as, you know, writing technical content. So hence the, you know, awards from this, from the Society of Technical Communication. Mm-hmm. But then I decided after many years after, I said, you know, I really need to pick up this story again. And I'm glad I waited, because the personalities and the personas of the people within this story, at 20 something, I was not mature enough, I think, to really understand the depth of it. Mm-hmm. Because obviously I hadn't experienced, you know, had the same experience as these adults. But then it was, you know, I'm glad I did, because then I was able to look at it in so many different layers of it, which mm-hmm. was really fascinating. And interestingly enough, just before I did, several months after I decided to pick this story back up, a friend of mine who's a writer in LA called me and she goes, "Hey, do you mind if I, you know, that story we were talking about in school, do you mind if I pick it up?" And I was like, "So funny you should ask, because I've already started like several months ago working on it." So it was, you know, kind of a, you know, kind of serendipity that she would want to do it. But then it's like, yeah, maybe now's the time.
So, you know, you had this story from such a long time ago, but you finally decided to pick it up. You know, when did you finally finalize the book?
So it was published, the first installment of it was published in January of this year. Mm-hmm. And I'm about halfway through the second one. And the third one is, you know, there's a good portion of the third book already written. So what happened was that I was going to write this story and it was just so big. And there was so much great content and stories to pick from that it actually kind of drove me to, you know, separate them out into time periods for these three generations and turn it into a trilogy, because it was just way too much content to put into one volume.
Why did you want to focus on the 1936? Like, why did you want to focus on the past era? Why are we diving in through that area?
So there was a very logical reason for that, is that once we get, because the highlight of things, I think, are when the family starts engaging with the beginning of the Sinaloa cartel. Mm-hmm. And we've had a lot of material written already, both in cinematic and written work of the cartel today. But what we don't have necessarily is the beginning of the cartel. Like, what were the roots of it? What was it like? How did Americans actually engage in it? And so our main character here is engaging in bringing guns into Mexico and heroin out. And then you wonder why this person, this individual, would go take his family down there and start engaging in this. And I thought that that would be a far-fetched story to actually jump into. And by the way, the three children there are actually left on their own to fend for themselves on the streets of Mexico. So, oh, wow. You know, you would think about that and you're like, wow, how does that can't happen? And how does someone get to that point? So then I kind of rewound it a little bit and went back, and you can kind of see where the pattern has kind of started and how that those decisions were made along the way so that they actually end up in the spot where they did. So
that's amazing. That's amazing. And, you know, and also to be so creative to kind of, you know, put this idea into words and into a book. I mean, I feel like that itself was just a challenge in itself to try to make sure it all fit together.
It did. And you know, I could have gone back even further, but I felt like the 1930s during the Great Depression, where things just kind of did a slide for a lot of Americans and people around the world for that matter. But we're starting to see some of those similarities and the relevancy of that story in that time period in today. So that really kind of intrigued me too, because people today are less confident in our government, in our policies, mm-hmm. and, you know, economic, you know, our economic and environmental issues, which were really part of the 1930s as well. So there's a lot of parallels there. So that was the place that I kind of put my stake in the ground and said, this is where I'm going to start.
We're talking with Shayla Johnson about the book Perpetual Gloom, A Two-Rut Road Along the Baloney Trail. Shayla, tell me about working with JR also on this book.
So it's really interesting because JR, when I wrote this, and I have to say and preface this by saying, I started this book, I broke the book. I fixed the book. I broke the book. I fixed it, broke it, fixed it, broke it, fixed it, broke it, over and over again. And so, and actually, I went through 28 revisions before it was
finished.
Oh,
my God. Well, you know what? Listen, that's honestly more 28 revisions, not enough, because I feel like, you know, people need to put more revisions in their work, no matter what they're doing.
Oh, yeah, I agree. And so, but the last break in it, I had this, you know, kind of epiphany of just saying, you know what, I just really need to write these in scenes, because that's how I see it in my brain. You know, there's a scene there where two individuals within the early 1930s, two of the characters there, actually go in and rob a bank. So, you know, we're looking at, you know, at that. And then there's another scene in where one of the people are, because of their religious beliefs, are being accused of being communist. So they go to jail and there's this big trial. Those were scenes, you know, in my mind. And so as I was rewriting, and I said, yes, this really needs to be made into a film. And I am not a screenplay writer. I just don't have that talent for it. And my work, you know, there's so much work in just writing it than to go and learn another trade, if you will. So I searched out for screenplay writers that I thought I could work with. And then I ran into JR, actually. He's over in the UK. Mm-hmm. And he's an award-winning screenplay writer himself. Mm-hmm. So, but he said, you know, he was saying, yeah, I can do this for like $30,000. And I'm like, okay, well, let me just finish this. You know, let me get this book up, you know, as far as close to completion as possible, take a look at it. And I'm thinking in the back of my mind, oh shit, there is no way I'm going to be able to afford to pay $30,000 for, you know, yeah. It was like, what am I thinking? But I said, you know, let's just follow this through. Let's just, you know, pretend like there's no obstacles in the way. And so, I sent him the manuscript and he immediately got back to me. But more importantly, he knew every single character. I mean, he actually read it. He digested it. And even though this is uniquely American and Latin America as well, it was very unique in that he got it. I mean, he just absolutely, he goes, I really want to do this. I really want to do this. And we're on a Zoom call. And finally, we just started talking and slowly dipping our toe in. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, do you want to partner with this? You know, as far as the screenplay is concerned. And he was like, yes.
That's amazing. Well, yeah. I'm so glad you were able to partner with somebody on it, and you were able to release the book too. I mean, where did you guys also do the research on making sure things were kind of factual when it came to that time period?
Well, that's what took me almost 6 years to do. And I actually had an opportunity to meet with some of the surviving individuals who belonged to that family and who was also involved in some of the Sinaloa runs. And so I was able to interview some of them. So, and that actually started me breaking the book again, because they had so many colorful stories and events that they just kind of shared with me on that. So it was worth going back and kind of pulling things apart a little bit so that I could fill in these very rich, rich images that they shared. So I'm very thankful for that.
Well, that's amazing. Well, again, the book is called Perpetual Gloom, A Two-Rut Road Along the Baloney Trail. Shayla, where can people find the book?
So it's available on Amazon. And by the way, it's available in print, ebook, and audio also. So Apple audio. You can find the audiobook there and Barnes and Noble also.
Awesome. And what is next for Shayla? Are we going to go back into photography, or is there going to be a part two to this trilogy?
Oh, absolutely. The book that I'm currently working on picks up where the first book leaves, because it's a trilogy, and that's called Imaginary Gravity.
Ooh.
And
do we have an idea when it's going to be released?
It should be out by September.
Oh, awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
So we'll definitely look out for that. And you definitely got to come back and tell us all about that.
Okay. Yeah. And then the one after that, the third one, is Shattering Light.
Oh, very cool. So it's going to be a three-part series.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Very cool. Well, I'm excited for those to join onto the Baloney Trail when they take a read to this book. It's by Shayla Johnson, again, called Perpetual Gloom, A Two-Rut Road Along the Baloney Trail. Shayla, thank you so much for joining me here on the Zach Feldman Show, and best of luck with everything.
Oh, thank you so much. It was a pleasure, Zach.
Anytime. The Webster Music Station, Z Radio Live, back with more Zach Feldman Show after this.
Want to hear more? Listen to the Zach Feldman Show every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on ZRadioLive.com.